23. I used to think you only said that at a funeral. Little did I know, you should read that. It's really good. So we're digging into Psalm 23. And we've been teaching out of it. For our first week, we said the Lord, the first part, the Lord is our shepherd. And you know how many times you can go, wah, 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 wah. I was like, psh. And you got to stop and you go read the words. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's my shepherd. Everybody say, he's my shepherd. He's a good one. Amen. All right. And Paul in the epistle says he's called the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. So I am an under shepherd. Pastor Sherry's an under shepherd. But listen, no one will take his place. No one will love you like he will. I mean, I'm good, but no one except for him will love you and be the shepherd for you all the time. So we kind of went over that. I'm doing the fast review, fast. But week two, we talked about verse one where it says, he's my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. And you know what? God doesn't want you to be in lack. Do you want your kids running around all no shoes, holy, and clothes, and lacking? Of course not. Well, no parent wants that. We always want the best for our kids. Well, he's a good shepherd, and he doesn't want you lacking in anything in your life. He doesn't want you lacking in relationships. He doesn't want you lacking with, you know, it hurts my heart when someone says, you know, I haven't talked to my parent in 10 years. God doesn't want you lacking like that. So he wants you not lacking. He wants to fill every area of your life, people, things, and all that good stuff. All right. So we have started our series on Psalm 23 by reading it. So we're going to do it again. It's always good to read it. So you can read along with me. Psalm 23. I am not reversing numbers. A particular person in the sound booth says, you did it again. I said, that's why I have you. You just keep me on point. You know, last week I typed down the wrong thing. So Psalm 23, you ready to go? One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whew. So that's really good. All right. You can yell it out. Who's the author of Psalm 23? Who wrote this? All right, they were paying attention. All right, okay, no, you already knew that. Okay, David wrote this, and David was a shepherd. He was king, but when he wrote this, he was writing it from his experience as a shepherd, all right? I did not grow up with sheep in my backyard, okay? So, and maybe you didn't either. Maybe you're like me. We don't know anything about sheep, but David was a shepherd. He knew about sheep. He understood sheep. So he's writing this to also open our eyes to God is the shepherd and he cares for you. So that's kind of a quick review. And we also said the last couple weeks that he is the good shepherd and he doesn't want you to be hopeless. He doesn't want you to be alone. Matter of fact, he's such a good shepherd that he goes after you. Has anybody had God go after you? If you received Jesus, he did. He tagged you in, right? All right, so anyway, that's the review. Today, I just want to focus on verse 2, okay? That's where we're going to spend our time. I'm going to read it to you again. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That sounds weird. I don't want to lie down in no green pastures, okay? I want to lie down on my Posturepedic, so whatever mattress I have. I have a new one with a big cushies, all right? So I'm like, what? Okay, but stay with me, all right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. So those are two things that a shepherd does to sheep in the natural. Okay, we're talking when we say sheep in the natural there, all right? Now, I was thinking back as we're going to go dig into this. when my kids were little, Jack would go off to church first, and I'd be left making sure everybody got dressed, fed, in the car. And by the time I hit the parking lot, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then we moved to this place, and you're up the hill, all right? And I'm dragging, four kids up the hill and stuff like that. And I thought, oh my gosh. Part of me is like, oh my gosh. The other part is I'm glad I made it. And again, I just want to say, my single moms, you are hauling kids up by yourself. I'm like, wow. And by the way, everybody look over here. This is called the upper parking lot. This is the upper parking lot, and this is for my moms, single moms, moms of little babies. Brianna had that thing, that carry thing. You know how many pounds is in that thing? You know how many pounds is that thing, all right? So I don't want my moms with those carrying babies all the way down there. This is for you, and this is for, it says handicap, but if you are in the process of healing, right, you can park up there. The rest of y'all with 2 feet, two legs strong, down bottom. Okay, just thought I'd bring that up, all right? Maybe I'll have somebody write tickets on your windshield. You owe $50. Got caught parking up there, two legs, running. Okay, all right. Okay, Pastor D. So for everyone, moms, everyone in this place, listen to this. We want to talk about rest and peace. How many of you could use a little rest in your life? How many of you can use a little peace in your life, okay? Some of you called me this week, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, good. So we're going to start talking about rest first. We're gonna do the rest part first, okay? You look out at the world. You look out at the culture, you want to call it, living in, okay? They are anything but rest. They are like busy, 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 all right? They are, everything is go, 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 do, 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 busy, busy, busy. Anybody notice that? I'm like, don't raise your hand if it's you, but, busy, busy, go, 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 okay? And now, every once in a while, it's usually when Pastor Sherry's preaching, I will stand in the back during worship for a little bit, okay, and I'm just watching people, just not bad, but whatever, okay, and I'm watching, and I'm looking at people, and they have their phone out during worship, and they're going like this, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're worshiping Jesus, we're worshiping the Savior, we're worshiping Jesus that died for you, and I see people doing this. Just look up the ceiling if I'm talking about you, okay? Just says, okay. But listen, we live in a culture, and that's what they're doing, okay? So that's what they're doing. They are just constantly doing this, okay? And constantly, I got to check. I got to do it. I got a thing. I have to, all right? And I think about where we're living in this planet right now, and then I think about busyness. I'm like, wow. And I look at people, and they're exhausted. Anybody, don't raise your hand if it's you, okay? They're exhausted and they're tired. Yes, raise your hand. I've been there, okay? They're exhausted and tired. And they're just, and then it made me think, have you ever put a little kid down to bed, and it's nighttime, it's time to go to bed, and they are fighting you? And their eyes, they're rubbing their eyes, and they're like, ooh. They're just fighting you. Anybody? Y'all back there, right? And you're like, so we got these little kids, and they don't want to go to bed. And then yet they're like I have a video of my granddaughter who was falling asleep, and we videoed it. It was so cute, and she'd go like this, no, 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 okay? But they fight you. So just think about this. Just possibly we're like that as adults. We're just like that. We are fighting when God's asking us to push some things aside. And we're fighting it. No, no, okay? And we're fighting and we just keep doing it. Like, guilty. I'm just reading my laundry. One night, it was like 9 o'clock and I should be getting ready for bed. And I heard bing, bing, bing. So I pulled out my phone and I'm going, it was midnight. How did that happen? But it binged again. I have to bing. You gotta. Silliest thing. Nobody else does that? Sure, Pastor D. So I get it, all right? I get it, I understand it, okay? But listen, and then people will come up to me, but Pastor D, it's the culture, we just got to do it. Listen, I am very concerned about the health of our soul. And our soul, I'm talking about your emotions. Your emotions, your thinking, your heart, okay? I'm more concerned about that than, and I did it, bing, 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 midnight. Are you kidding me? Gosh, okay. So listen, but Pastor D, I have to do it. I've got to check in with all my followers. Listen, do you know that when you get to heaven and you come walking in and you say, God, I had a million followers. He's not going to be like, whoa, that's amazing. Listen, he's going to have trillions of followers in heaven and he can diddly-wop about your followers, okay? So we gotta push this aside, okay? Okay, that was just a side note. So I want to talk about rest, and I want to talk about peace. We're going to start with rest, okay? And now Psalm 23, it's talking about natural sheep, okay? And by the way, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in North Jersey. I thought the only critter on the planet was a squirrel. So you think I know something about sheep? No. So I had a study. Sitting there reading, listening to YouTubes and reading books on sheep, just for you guys, okay? So I had to study about sheep, okay? And this is what I learned, all right, ready? Sheep will, this part about sheep lying down in green pastures, it's dealing with rest. It's dealing with rest, okay? Rest, all righty? So sheep cannot, will not, do not, won't, all right, won't lay down and rest if they're frightened. Sheep will not if they're frightened, okay? Now I'm not talking about, there's a lion, oh my gosh, come on, where do we find sheep around here? Not in the jungle. Go to Leslie and Eric's house, they have sheep. Okay, we find them in pastures and farms, okay? So it's, but listen, this is the problem, sheep, I didn't know this because, you know, I'm from Jersey, but sheep are easily frightened, okay? They're real skittish, okay? And when they're frightened, they cannot lie down and rest, all righty? So, and here's something that's really interesting. When sheep are frightened, they like to run. They go running, okay? And then Susie's looking at him, and Joey's looking at them, and then the whole pack's running, okay? They just run. They're all running because they got frightened, all right? So I think it's kind of, and it's like the pack got together. We're all just going to take off, all right? In a good sense, that's what church is. We're a pack. We're here together. Just going to drop a little nuggets today about what church really is, okay? But anyway, so all these sheep start running because they got a little skittish, and the reason why they got skittish, the reason why they got frightened, because they're like, oh, I'm not sure if someone's going to look after me. So I'm just running because there's something, okay? But wait a minute, we have the good shepherd, and then in the natural, you have shepherds, if they're really good, they're going to come and they're going to take care of sheep. Everybody say, bah. Yeah, you're sheep, okay. I have a cute little story about that, totally nothing to do with this, but years ago, we did a Christmas thing, and we had all these little kids up front, and some of them had little things with sheep, and some of them were over here dressed up as, I don't know what, camels and stuff like that, and these cousins were at church, and they were, it's Tisha's kids, oh, it's so cute, and little Marky over here yells at his cousin, hey, I'm a sheep, just, and the whole place just loses it, right? So you should just lose it and say, I'm a sheep, it's okay. So, okay, now I was lost, but now I'm found. Here we go. Back on track. So, what we're talking about church, okay, church. We come together. We come together here, okay? We come together, and we just had a time where we were worshiping and praising the Lord. And when we're worshiping the praising the Lord, I am now going to try, and I am. I'm going to get my focus on Him. I'm worshiping Him, I'm praising Him, I focus all about Him because I know that He can take care of me, all right? And this thing here, not so good taking care of me, so I want to get my focus up there, right? So, and by the way, but once you know that, it's really easy. You know, I just know that, so I'm going to keep my focus up there. And by the way, I can't go home with every one of you and take care of you. 24/7. But you know who can? He can. Jesus can go home with you every day. Matter of fact, in your heart, 24/7, sitting next to you, all right? And God can. So I'm good, but he's the great. Amen? Okay. So, and by the way, today, you know, so he goes with you, all right? But today, I'll give you a word. I'm going to give you a bunch of words from the Bible, okay, that you can take home. Yep, you can take home, and you should write them down. You get home, and you're reading them, and you're like, that's that word Pastor D gave, the scripture. So I am not going to fear. I'm not going to get skittish and depart from the shepherd. Amen. Okay. By the way, open up your Bibles to Psalm 92, verse 13. Psalm 92, real short. But right, if you don't want to look at it, just jot it down. It's just a super good one, okay? This ties in with local church. Psalm 92, here we go, verse 13. Those, everybody raise your hand, you're one of those. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of the God. So can I be honest? I used to say, you better be honest. Don't be a liar. Okay, but can I be honest? Listen, if you are a person who are potted and not planted, you are unhealthy. Oh, Pastor, you're so cute. Say that again. If you are a person who is potted and not planted, you are unhealthy. So this is talking about the local church. What do you mean? How do I get planted? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. Ready? You should write this down. Okay, ready? If you don't serve, if you're not in a group, if you're not rubbing shoulders in a group, if nobody knows you, oh, I look at the ceiling. Okay, if nobody knows you, then you're not healthy. Because, listen, God designed the church. I am not that smart to figure this design of how church, local church works. But it's in the scriptures, in Old Testament and New Testament, okay? But he designed the local church that you just don't sit and go. He designed the local church that you're known. And you're participating, okay? Probably it's a decade ago, I read a book by Andy Stanley, just amazing man of God, and he wrote the book, and it was all about, and I've said this before, rows are good. By the way, what are you sitting in?
Rows.
Okay, rows are good, circles are better. Everybody say better.
Better.
I love coming here on Sunday morning and talking to the rows. I just love it. I have a great old time. But circles are better, okay? Circles are better. But circles are better, but they don't replace a Sunday, a weekend here. They're okay, circles are better, but this doesn't replace that. That doesn't replace it. I have to say that, okay? And the reason why circles are better, so that means you're on a team, you're in a group, you're serving, okay? You're rubbing shoulders. The reason why it's better is because people get to know you. Okay, and you may be off by yourself. That's nice words. Can't think of one. All right, not good. All right, can't think of a nice word. Okay, all right, okay. So, but being in the circle, being connected, being known, being touching with other people gets you healthy. So, if you are unhealthy, you're not known. If you're not known because you don't do that, you're not healthy. All right, praise the Lord. Better move along. And I want the sheep getting a little skittish and taking off and running here. Okay, keep moving, Pastor D. Okay, all right. So, according to shepherds, not me, according to, well, the thing, the books, I read stuff about sheep, okay, but according to shepherds, listen to this, sheep will only lie down, you know, lie down if four conditions are met. They have to have four of them met. So, you ready? Take notes. First one, sheep will this is the condition that has to be met. They must be free from fear. Sheep must be free from fear. Well, duh, Pastor D. Nah, a little more than duh. Listen, we live in a culture right now, and everything's about fear. It's just fearful. They're fearful, okay? All right? And so if you have your news on, all day long. If you've got your TV on and you're listening to the news 24/7, if that's all you do, guess what? I can tell you, you're going to get unhealthy. Smile at me. Yeah, you're going to get unhealthy, okay? Because it's not healthy to keep hearing fear. Though, you ought to know what's going on in the world, okay? You do. And some people come, by the way, Pastor DJ, I was like, oh, thank you for telling me that. But you ought to know. But if that's your 24/7 or that's on for like 3 hours just going like this, that's unhealthy, all right? And so because what you're doing is you're putting into your soul, into your thinking, which will get into your emotions, it'll get into the way you act. What you're doing is putting into the soul of yours the way the world is all just, wah, fear, all right? So not good, okay? What you need to hear is the Word of God. So I love when I come visit somebody and they got the Bible on in the background. It's just like, woo, go girl. Or they got worship music going on. I'm like, yeah, boy, that's good, all right? Okay, as opposed to they have the TV on. From the morning to night. That's not good, all right? So, the only time sheep in the natural will lie down is they have to be free from fear, all right? Number two, sheep must be free from panicky situations. Okay, let me tell you a story. So, here are the sheep. They're out in the pasture, all right? They're just kind of hanging out, and they might even be laying down. And all of a sudden, a jackrabbit comes by. Okay, and you know, and he's not, it's a rabbit. It's not even going to be able to bite them and attack them. But all of a sudden, they're like, ah! Ah! Sheep get freaked out. They get panicky. And what do? They start running. And everybody's running. And if they're next to a cliff, they're going to run off the cliff and die. I read this in a book. It's just not me being dramatic. Okay, so I believe in church. The local church, by the way, you're in a local church, hallelujah, you do not need to hear all that's going on in the world, all the fear that's going on around the world. You do not need to hear that when you come here, all right? And yet, I've had people write me notes, they don't sign them. I've had people come to my face, they tell me their face, okay. Pastor D, you need to be preaching on politics. Pastor D, you need to be preaching on this. I understand, but I am called to preach the word of God. The word of God. I'm called to do that. Okay? And so when you come here, you're going to hear the word of God. Now, am I going to tell stories about what's going on in the world and use them for good examples and stuff like that? Yeah. But listen, the word of God. The word of God. That's what you need to hear, okay? Third thing, sheep must be free from, okay, fear, the fearful torment of flies and parasites. I read that in a book. Okay, and I'm not going to get into detail today. In a couple of weeks, we're really going to dig into that because it's just more than flies and parasites. But listen, here's what you need to know. When sheep are going to lay down, okay, and they're going to lay down and these flies and these parasites are all around them, they are not going to be able to lay down and rest. They're going to get in fear. Okay, it's just simple that, okay? So, in the local church, you know, I tell you about natural. Now, I tell you, in the local church, I believe that we should be a place, everybody smile, where there isn't going to be anything that irritates you. I want to say something, and I was like, okay, I'm going to say it anyway. It irritates you, okay? This should be, okay, I'll get to that. This should be a place where you experience peace and rest. Church should be a place, okay? Now, I may step on your toes, but I love you, all right? But we were at a conference, okay, and this irritates people, probably 99.9 of people. So we're just in this worship. Oh, praise God. It was the presence of God. That was when I was bawling for 2-3 days straight, okay? In the presence of God. And all of a sudden, I hear behind me, somebody had a shofar. If you don't know what it is, praise God, don't ask, okay? But if you do know what it is, okay. It was, yeah. No, there's no good tune notes. There's no notes on a shofar that sound pretty, okay? Okay, so, and the problem is I understand the Old Testament of what the shofar was. It's a ram's horn that they would blow, and they would announce battles and victories, okay? I understand that. But if you don't understand that, and someone, Chris, I was like, oh, my God, what the heck? What the heck? Okay, all right, okay, so, okay. I wasn't going to say that, but it's irritating. It irritates people. It irritates Pastor D. Okay, so this should be an environment of peace and rest where the word of God goes forth. All right. Last one. By the way, you can't be offended at me if you have one and you like them, because you can't be offended, right? Okay, just want to tell you. Okay. Last one. Sheep must be free from the fear of no food or hunger. No food or hunger. Okay, in other words, the only time they're going to lie down, the only time they're going to rest is when they're like, I'm not hungry. I'm full. I'm not hungry. I know I got food. I'm not hungry. Okay. Then they're going to lie down and rest. Sounds like after Thanksgiving, right? Okay. So the local church, guess what our job is here? Feed you the word of God. Where you go, oh, that was the word of God. That was food. That was, I'm full. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So praise God. All righty. Now. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you are probably going out to eat afterwards, okay, or you're having dinner, lunch at your house, okay? How many of you are grilling? Let me know. Give me your address, okay? All right, but, you know, and that, now all you're thinking about is what you're grilling, all right, because, you know, Pastor D said we're all going out to eat here, all right? But here's the thing. We need to be hungry for God. We need to be hungry for his word. We need to be hungry for his presence. And I'm telling you, during praise and worship today, that was the presence of God. Whether you knew it or not, there was the presence was there. And by the way, it's still there. All right? But we need to be hungry for God, for the word and his presence. More so than, what kind of steaks are you serving, Jason? What? Okay. There. Anyway. Just checking. Okay. All right. So we're talking about rest. We're talking about resting, okay? So Jesus, our shepherd, he had a lot to talk about rest. He did. He talked about rest. So open up your Bibles to Mark 6, all right? So Jesus has a lot to say about rest, but we live in a culture, we live in a time where, man, they are not resting. People are not resting. They're always, I've got to accomplish this. I am guilty. Okay, I'm working on this. I'm preaching to myself, okay? But we got to accomplish this. We got to go, go, go. We got to do. Anybody go, 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 do, okay? Almost to the point where we wear badges if I don't rest. No, silly, okay? But I don't know. Listen, the older I get, I have realized if you are always trying to accomplish and always going and always doing, it is going to bite you in the It'll come and get you, all right? And finally, I've grown up just a little bit, but I, you know, when I'm just constantly on the go and constantly doing, and listen, y'all doing good stuff, or else you would have posted on Facebook and I would have called you up, okay? I know. Facebook, okay. All right, I forgot what I was going to say next, okay. This is why we have notes, everybody. Okay. At the young age I am, and having go, 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 do, go, go, do, accomplish this, post-it notes, do that one. I have finally gotten to the place that if I pay attention, I can sense that that is not the good place that I'm in. And I can, so I'm paying attention, I'm sensing. So what I need to do is detach, right? I need to break away. And I just heard a sweet story from a wife about her husband. It was a good story. There's been lots going on. I mean, things that they didn't foresee, things that, just circumstances. You know, somebody passed away. Nobody planned that. It just happened. And there was just lots going on in the family. And the husband came home one day to the wife, and he says, I need to go fishing, and I'm not taking my phone. And when I heard that, he could sense. It wasn't, you know, she said to him, well, then give me your phone, because his kids were going to call him. So she kept the phone and she let him have this day. And it wasn't the fishing. It was just, I need to rest and I need to get in. And I know this man of God, and besides his fishing pole, he had his Bible out there, or his cell. No, he didn't have a cell phone. Couldn't do that because she had it. But anyway, all right. So we need to rest, all right? And now watch what Jesus said, Mark chapter 6. This is Jesus. This isn't Pastor D. This isn't your grandmother or your mother. Jesus said this. He said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest. So guys, they weren't taking their cell phones with them. All right? And listen, pay attention when you go out to a restaurant with a group of people, or better yet, just look at all the other tables, or even at home. How many times you're out to eat, and everybody's got their phone going, and we're eating dinner. They got like a phone. Even old grandpa, who you just had, barely knows how to work flip phone, okay? And you go, "Grandpa, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm checking my Facebook." And you're like, "What? Well, we're here, okay?" But listen, pay attention to what you think is resting. Okay? Okay, so let me tell you what is not resting, all right? Don't get offended. Not resting. "Oh, Pastor D, I binged on 8 hours of Netflix." That is not resting. Okay, I'll get you guys now. "Pastor D, I was gaming for 8 hours." That is not resting. Nope, it isn't, okay? Pay attention to what you think is resting, all righty. So, Mark chapter 6, verse 31. "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest." He said this because there were so many people coming and going, movement, activity, distractions, movement, and that Jesus and his disciples didn't have time to eat. Do you know one of the biggest businesses, fast foods in the United States, like big bucks fast foods, all right, and we don't have time to eat? Right? I grew up in a generation where we ate every dinner at the table. Like, that was standard, okay? And now we're like, you know, and we're going to have to eat together. I'm not talking about Christmas and Easter. People are like, "You know what? I'm making a decision. Everybody in my family, you're to be here because we're going to eat dinner. Don't you dare bring your phones, and we're eating now." A little joyful, yeah, right, okay? But listen, God never planned. He planned meals, but he never planned for us to be so busy, guys. He didn't plan for us to be so busy, okay? And I really think a lot of the mental situations that you see in this country and even in the world is that people are carrying so much stress, and they're... Their mental, their emotions, their thoughts can't handle it. So I think we got to get the rest. Everybody say rest. All right, turn over to Genesis chapter 2. If not, they're just going to pop it up on here just real quick. This is God, and this is God, what he says here. I love God. Hallelujah. Genesis 2, 1 and 2. Genesis 2, 1 and 2. "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was complete. And on the seventh day, God finished his work of creation." Okay, so God worked, but then he finished, and the next part's the best. "So he rested from all his work." All right, have you ever heard people say, you know, you're all supposed to have a day, and our Sabbath day. Anybody hear about the word Sabbath day? And a Sabbath day, or a day of rest, means it's where you put things down and you rest. Now, I don't do 24 hours like that, but you know, there's just, you know, that means also, now I'm not cutting the lawn, I'm not working in my flower bed, I'm not doing all the laundry. It means you put things down and you rest, because it is good. Okay. "Pastor D, what are you kidding? What planet do you live on? You can't do that. I can't do that. I have no way I can do that." Yes, baby, you can do it. You can do it. Everybody say, "I can do it." Okay, praise God. Start with 4 hours, all right? Just find 4 hours. Just start from there, okay? You know, it's really interesting when people say, "Pastor D, I can't. That's impossible. I can't do that. That's impossible." But listen, it's really interesting. People will say things are impossible, but it's really interesting to watch people who say something's impossible, but they go ahead and do it because they can do the impossible. I understood what I just said, okay? Okay, like, "Oh, Pastor D, I can't take time and read my Bible. Oh, Pastor D, I can't take time and do that." Okay, but then they go and do other things, stuff, and what it gets down to is value. What you value, you will do. Everybody smile at me. What you value, you will do. All right, so Moving on, turn over to Matthew 11. Praise, smile at me, y'all. Smile at me, smile. Matthew 11, verse 28, okay? Again, this is Jesus, okay? Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Now listen to what he says he'll do. And I will give you rest. Okay, what will Jesus do? Give you rest. What? Are you sure he's not lying? No, he's not lying. He said he'll give you rest, okay? But what do you have to do? Come to him. All right? Come to him and he'll give you rest, all right? All right, so that's the part. And by the way, congratulations. Thank you very much. You just did a part of it. Coming to church, coming into his presence, coming, you know, that's just a part, all right? And he'll give you rest. Praise God. Okay, verse 27. Take my yoke. All right, back then, they didn't grow up in Brooklyn. They knew what was going on here, okay? Back then, you had two ox. You'd yoke them together, put two of them together, and then there was more power with them together to go out and plow the fields, all right? So what does Jesus say that you should do? Take my yoke. Take my yoke. Why don't you come with me? Come with me, and I'll give you rest. Everybody say rest. Everybody smile. Okay. All right. Verse 29. Let's read that again. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Interesting. He didn't say rest for your body. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Read it again. You will find rest for your souls. If you yoke up at him, if you come to him, you're going to have rest for your soul. So your soul is emotions. It's just your way of thinking, okay? And by the way, move your toes in. So for all you parents, your kids need rest just like you do, all right? So, all day long they're on an iPad or a whatever electronic thing. And, you know, back in the day, I would pay a babysitter to captivate my children. Okay? Y'all know, they just plug them into iPhones, iPads, this, okay? And let me, and I'm telling you, in the next couple of years, we don't know the research out on what this is going to do to their brains. Okay, I'm not in fear, but let me just put it this way. Your kids need to unplug and have rest. Okay, amen. Good preaching, good parenting, Pastor D. Praise the Lord. All right, so praise the Lord. Your kids need rest just like you. All right, verse 30. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. God is never putting heavy on you. Okay, that's not our God. He'll put light, and he'll give you his grace to do the thing he called you to do. Alrighty, here, Psalm 23, back to that again, the second part. He leads me beside still waters. Everybody say still waters. Still waters. Yeah, all right. Now, as a little kid, I was really cute and then a little ornery, but then I had an ornery brother. But we would play with the spigot and the hose. And, you know, just when I'd turn it on a little bit, my brother would just go like this, you know? And I didn't like that, all right? Sheep don't even like a hose, and they definitely don't want the fire hydrant. They don't like that. What does it say? Still waters, okay? Still waters. The shepherd, the good shepherd's going to lead them, not to the fire hydrant, not to the hose, but to still waters. Okay, you know what that word still talks about? Listen to that. That word means peace. Still is the word that means peace, and the Hebrew would be shalom. Y'all heard the shalom, right? Shalom. Alrighty. So as I was studying, I love to read. So I was reading this new author, and they gave a really cool definition for still, peace, shalom. Listen to this. You should write this down. Shalom means breaking the authority caused by chaos. Yeah, write that one down. That's post-it note on the mirror for the week. Ready? Breaking the authority, okay, that has caused chaos in my life. Okay, now you all know Jesus gave you authority. when he sat down in heaven, he goes, now you have authority, all right? But shalom is designed to break the chaos that's going on in your life, okay? Another definition, y'all know this one. We've said this for years. Peace, shalom, means nothing missing, nothing broken. Anybody ever hear that? I think someone said that today. I think Pastor Sherry did, okay? Wouldn't you like to have nothing missing, nothing broken in your life? How many would you like that? Yeah, all right? Okay, so here's the thing. And more, I'm studying about sheep. I did not know this, but listen to this. Sheep hate water. Okay? They hate water. They don't go swimming. Oh, I just love this. No, sheep don't like water. Sheep hate water. The only time they want water is they want a little drink. Okay? But they hate water. And listen, they hate rain. They don't like rain. They hate rain. As a matter of fact, let's just say they don't like rain because, okay, here's this good shepherd. He's leading them by streams, and they want to go get a drink. But these are rough streams. These are like, can't even think of a name one around here. The Susquehanna at high tide, okay. So they're out there, okay, they fall in, and then their wool gets wet, and guess what? They're going to sink and die. They don't like water, except just still so where does the shepherd take them so they're not panicky? All right? He's not going to take them to the rough streams. He's going to take them to the still waters. All right? So you have a good shepherd, and he wants you to have still waters. He wants you to have peace in every area of your life, in your home, right? He wants you to be at peace all over there, okay? So, can I tell you the person who's the drama person that comes into your home? Not good, okay? Because he wants you to have peace, all right? He wants you to have peace. Like you come home and you go, hey, honey, I'm home. And drama, what? Did you know what happened today? And you're like, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I'm going back to work, right? Drama. Yeah, don't look. Okay. I just want, some of you are like, well, God made me like that. Big drama. No, God did not make you to be drama. He didn't make you to be panicky. He didn't make you to be the drama person, all right? And I'm telling you what, anybody know, don't look at them. Just raise your hand, look at the ceiling if they're sitting next to you. Anybody know drama people? It's exhausting. It is not peaceful, right? So don't tell them to listen to this. Go online. What do we listen to, Pastor Sherry? You know where we go, Pastor D, sure. All right, turning over to John chapter 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Praise the Lord. We're talking about peace, okay? This is, we're switching from rest to peace. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is Jesus talking. This is not me. This is Jesus. And he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, okay? Guys, we live in a world that's all troubled and whacked, right? It's crazy. But he says, do not let your heart be troubled. And I have to say this. You have to watch out because everybody else is, whoa, and all troubled. And if you're not watching out, you're going to get sucked into it. Anybody ever get sucked into it? I have. And then I'm like, dang, how did I get over here? So you have to be watchful that you don't get sucked into all the trouble and the drama and the fear, okay? So do not let your hearts be troubled. Write this down if you're taking notes. Listen to what this word trouble means. Like I was thinking, oh, trouble means this. No, in the Greek, it means this, to be unsettled. Don't let your heart be unsettled. Second part, don't let your heart be disturbed. Last one, or to be confused. Unsettled, disturbed, confused, okay? And listen, we live in a time, everybody's unsettled. They're all disturbed. Have you ever watched TV? You're watching the news, and the broadcaster comes on and says, hey, the pictures you are about to see are very graphic. You know what that means? Disturbed. All right? It's going to be disturbing. So I just turn it off, all right? Don't watch it, all right? But here's the interesting thing. myself included, we have gotten so used to watching that stuff. Just even the news. I'm not even talking about movies you watch, okay? Okay, you're watching the news and you're like, oh, some people on the news, they just got killed over here. Oh, man, they're dead. Oh well, okay, listen. It doesn't even disturb us to be disturbed. Yeah, that's not good. So don't watch it, all righty? All right, let's read that one again. Do not let your hearts be troubled, disturbed, unsettled, confused. You believe in God, but also believe in me. So what he's saying is, listen, hey, have faith, believe in me. You don't have to be disturbed. You don't have to be unsettled. Amen? Praise God. Now, when it comes to peace, you got to watch out. You got to watch out. Matter of fact, you got to watch out that every situation out there is trying to push you into fear and being unsettled, okay? So when it comes to peace, I have to be determined. I have to be intentional that I am going to go all in for God, that I'm going to grab this world. And listen, I don't live in a cave. I do put on the news, but when I'm hearing this, then I have to be intentional, like, turn that thing off, enough of that, and I'm going to be intentional to grab my Bible, and I'm going to find out what God says for all the terrible that's going on, what he says about it, and the answers, amen? So, be intentional, go after peace, because listen, if you are not intentional, peace will go out the window. You know, have you ever been to a group of people? I was like, don't say that, Pastor D. And they're just discussing all the stuff that's going on in the world. And I know. And next thing I know, the whole table's like in an uproar. Oh, my gosh. Okay? And next thing I know, peace out the door. Peace out the window, all right? So be intentional, guys. Be intentional. God wants to fill your heart with peace. Everybody say peace, okay? No matter what's going on. No matter what's going on your job, no matter what's going on in your family, no matter what's going on in your bank account, no matter what's going on with your husband and wife situation, God wants to fill you with his peace. So I was talking to a lady at the church, and two things had happened, and she says, you know, I'm just at peace. And I was like, what? You know, most of us would have, what? All right, this happened in your, she was just at peace. I was like, praise God. God wants to fill you. That's available to you, all right? All right, turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4. So we've been talking, Jesus has been talking to us. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's life had lots of ups and downs. And sometimes it was hard. His life was hard. Let's see. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been hungry. All right? It wasn't easy peasy. Okay? And listen to what he says. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious for anything. Hello, Paul. What planet are you living on? Are you kidding me? We have to be anxious for things. Come on. All right? No. Do not be anxious for anything, all right? But in every situation, everybody say, every situation. That phone call you just got, that situation, that boss, I don't know, every situation, okay? By prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Wow. How many of you need peace in your life? He is the giver of peace, okay? And his peace in the worst situations will transcend all of that. It'll just keep you. Like everybody else is going, I can't believe you're just so peaceful. Well, yeah, I have a God who's given me peace. And I have a God who has all the answers. Good thing I don't have the answers. I'm trusting him. I've seen him do it. So, amen. All right. Then, verse 8. Finally, my brothers and sisters, he is talking to believers. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Everybody say think. All right. You need to be thinking on good things, not the bad things. Now, I am not like deceive that I don't know the bad thing that's happened, but I am going to think on the good things. And if you can't find the good things, go read this. It's got lots of good things, okay? So think on the good things, all righty? Verse 9, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received and heard from me, whatever you've seen, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All right, a couple more definitions for peace. If you didn't like the first two, here we go. Peace means it conveys a sense of rest. Everybody go like this. Inner rest. That's what peace also means. Okay, here's another one. Peace means to be in harmony. Harmony, all right? Jesus came to earth, and he came so you could have harmony with God, so that you can have peace with God, so that you can have fellowship with God. That's why he came, because we were separated, but Jesus came to the earth, okay? So Paul is telling us, hey, the way to get back into peace, into harmony, is go with God. Go with what the Word says. Amen? All right. So I'm going to wrap up. Yeah, we're good, we're good. It's crazy out there. What's that song? It's crazy, girl. It's crazy. It's crazy out there. But he's telling you, you can have peace. All right? He's telling you can have it. He's telling you how. So Paul just told you things that you can do that can cause you to live in peace. How many of you want to live in peace? Well, then listen to what Paul said. He already told us, and we just read it. First one, he says pray. You want to have peace? Pray. Novel idea, Pastor D. Not pray last. Not pray because you don't know what else to do. Pray first, all right? Pray first, all right? So the second thing he tells you to do is be thankful. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be grateful, all right? We have a world that they are not grateful for nothing. They're not grateful for their listen, I'm not grateful for the house I live. I'm not grateful for my job. I'm not grateful for my spouse. They're just rant, 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 rant. Listen, if you do not have that gratefulness, that thankfulness, you're going to be askew in your view. All right? It is, if you are not, don't have a thankful heart, you're gonna end up in trouble. Can I show you a good way to practice? Do this with your kids. Take them out to a restaurant, and the server comes and gives you water. Teach your kids, by example, thank you, ma'am. All right? And then they take your order, and you say, thank you. And then they thank you. You are teaching your kids gratitude, gratefulness, thankful, okay? Amen. Just a little side parenting. I'm into parenting today. Wow. That's because my grandkids are coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, grateful. Okay, verse 8, Paul says this, the third thing. You need to think right thoughts. And he goes, think on things that are true, pure, honest. Think on right thoughts, okay? And the scripture tells us all over, Old Testament, New Testament, okay? Your thoughts will control how you live. And I don't have time to preach on this right now. Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. Charles Capp's Tongue, the Creative Force. Mac Hammond's? He who controls the soul controls the life. Anyway, soul control. Yeah. Okay, and there's my new one, and I'm going to get Gregory Dickow, Fasting from Wrong Thinking. Oh, I'm getting that one, all right? Listen, okay. So here's the bottom dollar. I'm going to say it as nice as I can. Stinking thinking causes trouble. And it was interesting. I was with some people this week, and I've known this lady for, 30 years. And the stuff coming from her mouth was negative and critical. I was trying to get away from her, but I couldn't. Okay. But she had no clue. She's a lovely lady. She's just clueless. So the stinking thinking was just coming out of her mouth. Judgmental, critical about everybody and everything. And I thought, I'm sitting next to you. What are you thinking? Gosh. Okay, stinking thinking. We don't want to do that. Amen? So, extreme. Here we go. Pastor D, I don't know how this happened, but I had an affair. I don't know how it happened. I know how it happened, Dodo Bird. It started with a thought. Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, she's better than my wife. It starts with a thought. Okay? So the Bible, well, lots of scriptures, can't even give you. It starts with a thought, and then, all right? Okay, smile at me. Here we go. Last one. Paul says, and this is the key. You read this, and you're like, yeah, that is so good. That word of God is so good. I get that. But you have to apply it in your life. How many of you know people? I know people. They know the Bible better than I do. I mean, like, I'm embarrassed. They got scriptures memorized, and their life is a mess because they know it here, and they don't apply it. And it's a work to apply it. And some days you just apply it. But they don't apply it, but they can quote it. All right? So you have to apply. And he said this. He says, this is Paul. I want you to think about what you heard me say. I want you to think about what you saw me do. You know, I showed you. Now you do it. The Bible says be a doer of a word and not hearer only. All right? So when I read something and it goes in my Bible and it's like lights, oh, that was good. I finally got smart and I said, now how can I apply that in my life today? And some days I don't get the answer, but the Holy Spirit halfway through the day goes, that was it. You didn't do it. Let's do it, okay? Just ask him, how do I apply this in my life, okay? Okay, one more scripture and we're going to pray together, okay? This is by David. You know David the shepherd. David was king. And he wrote this. It's Psalm 116. Just jot this down. 116, verse 7. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible because, okay, just say it, Pastor D. Don't go. David the king, David the shepherd, Psalm 116, verse 7. I said to myself, relax and rest. All right? I can't go home with you. I don't want to go home with you. I have a new mattress. I love my place. Okay? All right? Okay. But you need to tell yourself, hey, relax, rest. Everybody say, I said to myself, relax. Rest. Praise God. Let me pray over you. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes for a second. You are the good shepherd. You are the great shepherd. And you desire to lead all of us by beautiful, peaceful pastures and still waters. Father, your desire is that we walk in a peace and a rest that you give us. That we choose. So today, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You just remind us when we're about ready to lose it, step away from it, and we go, oh, I'm going back to your presence. I'm going back to your peace. I'm going back to your rest. I thank you, Lord, that in those still places, Lord, that you would reveal how big of a good shepherd you are to our lives, how much you love us, that you have never walked away from us, that you're always there to help us. I thank you for your peace and our rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay, we're so professional up here. Okay. One more thing. Just close your eyes. I have not scored 100% on the test of walking in peace or rest. No shame. So some of you just right now say, Father, you know, man, just getting to church, it was whoo-hoo-hoo. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm back. And he says, I know. You're washed. You're here. Come up here. All right? And you might be here and you've actually just moved away from the good shepherd. You just put him away. Today's a good day to bring him back in. He wants to help you every moment, every day of your life. But you have to say, I'm back. Okay? But take a step and come back to him. And maybe you're here and you have never asked Jesus, the good shepherd, to come into your life. He will change your life. He will, amazing. Can't even think of words. Okay. So if you're here today and you'd say, Jesus, I need you. I am tired of lack of rest and peace in my life, and I realize I have never done anything with you. And today, I'd like to ask you to come into my life. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And if the other one, you've just pushed them aside, and you're like, shoo, I'm coming back. So I want to pray for you. So there's two types of people. If that's you, just raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you. Is there anybody?